parables, those interesting, surprising stories that Jesus told. Get ready, kids, because today was the first of a whole string of parables as Matthew put them together, and we're going to be hearing some more. This one is in all the three Gospels that include parables, sort of the lead-off parable, the parable of the sower. Parables are really odd kinds of stories because they describe something that is almost always weird. Yeah, they really do. One of the things that the church throughout history has done with the weird parts of the Bible is to try to unweird them, preachers particularly. This story, which if you've been in church much in your life, you know, you've heard it again and again, and you might expect, generally I do, to hear a sermon about the different kinds of soil and how I need to do a self-inventory and find out if I'm rocky soil that has no depth and I'm shallow, or if I'm thorn-infested soil and I need to, I'm letting the cares of this world crowd out like weeds, the fruits of the Spirit, or if I'm like a church parking lot and when God's word is sung on me, it just sits there on top of me and birds fly away with it, or the evil one, whichever. We expect that. This ain't bad. Because we do need to work with God about the thorns and the stones and the shallowness and all the rest in our lives. And it's useful. Often, however, we preachers take it the easy way, and we don't notice that the Bible doesn't call it the parable of the soil, does it? It's the parable of the sower. So let's think about it again a little bit. The parable, as we've heard today, it's in two parts. And by the way, the good news for me as a preacher and you as a hearer probably is that there's actually some more verses in Matthew in between those two parts, and we don't have to read them. Thanks be to God. Because they raise more questions than you can imagine. And go home and look at them, because they will raise questions for you too. And then come to Father Casey, and he will... But the first part is just a straightforward story like Jesus' stories are. Second part, you know, he allegorizes it and says who all these things are. But the first part is just a story. There was a guy who goes out to start sowing and is sowing seeds. You know, you've seen the paintings and the stuff. You know, he's got a bag slung over his shoulder with the seeds in them, and he's walking, you know, and casting the seeds out, you know, like this. And all, you know, a typical first century farmer, except a really dumb farmer. People there must have been saying he never went to a farm, did he? You know, a sensible farmer, first of all, long before it's time to plant the seeds, would first go out and with his hoe and pull and dig out all those thorn bushes and weeds and just get them all out of there. He would get out and dig out and remove all the rocks. Have you ever been down in Central Texas where you pass a lot of farms where the fences between them are made totally out of stone? You know where they got all that stone? Out there in that field. You can't grow a thing in Central Texas except mountain cedar and mesquite, unless you get rid of all those rocks, you know. And he would have done that. And if there were any hard-packed pathways where the cows have been walking and packing down the soil, he'd get out and dig that up, and then he would plow it, and he would till it, and he would fertilize it till it was all great, and then he would cast the seed, of course. And if it didn't work too well, he'd quit farming. Not necessarily. He'd just keep on doing it no matter what. But this sower is weird because he just goes willy-nilly throwing seeds everywhere. You know, doesn't seem to care where they fall. Do you really want that to go among the thorns? Why not? Just throws them out there. And he just keeps doing it. And he keeps doing it again and again. He just won't give up on it. Sowing seeds far and wide. In the second part of today's reading, Jesus then explains the parable to the disciples because the disciples are not the sharpest pencil in the box. But we aren't either. All right. And it's that part of the explanation that we preachers have hooked on to make you feel guilty about the thorns and stones in your life so you'll be better. Because the goal is, of course, the preaching is to help you get good enough in your personal, a non-biblical term, relationship with God, personal, so that you'll get good enough that you can go zipping off to heaven someday. And that turns this parable into the parable of the soil. But if it's really about the sower, who is that sower? What is the seed? And what does it say about the soil, about that the seed falls on? And here are some answers to those questions. The sower is God. We often say it's Jesus, but that's not... The sower is God. And the seed is God's word. And that doesn't mean your Bible or the wisdom I'm saying to you to hear. That means the word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us in the divine man, Jesus. And what's about the soil it falls on? That's us, folks. Not just us Episcopalians. That's us. And we are this great jumble and mess of productive and screwed up stuff. None of us is only one kind of soil, either good or bad, productive or distorted. We're a mess of good and bad, blessed intention and stinky behaviors. If God is a sower who is eternally casting the seed of his word, Jesus Christ, on all kinds of soil, all kinds of people, what does that tell us about God? And that's the point of Jesus' parable. The weirdness of God is that God is from the beginning and before there was a beginning to the end and beyond the end, blissfully and hopefully, persistently sowing himself and his word into the whole creation with love and grace and healing. And you and I, as much as we often let the weeds and stones and hardness of our lives try to choke out that gift, God doesn't give up. He keeps on doing it. There's no indication of that at all in Jesus' story. God just keeps at it. God keeps throwing those seeds into you and to me and to every human being and to all his creation because he doesn't give up. And some of this is what Paul is trying to get at. I don't know if you've noticed, we've been reading a lot of the letter to the Romans lately. And that's because we're reading through it on the Sundays during this green season, the whole thing. And if you haven't been paying attention and reading the parts that we've left out, all putting it all together, we've gotten up through seven chapters so far. And I'll tell you, if you don't think you feel that your life is a mess and you're a stinker and you're under God's judgment, then you haven't been reading Romans, because that's what Paul has to tell us about the mess we're in. And he finally, last Sunday, remember what he said then? I mean, he's finally almost just screaming. He's so frantic and lamenting the fact. He says, look, folks, I'm a trained Pharisee scholar of the Torah. I know what is good. I know it absolutely what's good, and I can't do it. And I know absolutely what's wrong to do, and I keep doing it. Over and over again, I just again and again, like Charlie Brown trying to kick that football out of Lucy's hand and never succeeding, I do my best. I can't hit the target. By the way, the word sin in the Bible means missing the target, okay? And he finally just cried out last week, you know, here's the way the Message, the contemporary English, translates it. He says this falling into sin and failing to do the good happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commandments. But it's pretty obviously that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Thank God, Jesus Christ can and does. The word of the Lord, that's what we heard last Sunday, okay? And then he picks up at the beginning of chapter 8 today. And did you hear those first words? It's the very first words. We often miss the first words. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Regardless of your thorns, your stones, your shallowness, my failure to use the grace that is implanted in me by the Word of God, there is no condemnation. That sower just keeps sowing the seed over and over and over because he's weird that way. He won't stop it. He can't because he's God and he does God stuff. You might almost think that God's love is for everyone. We might almost think that God has watered us and is watering us and is nourishing us to grow into his own life. Now then, you're smart enough to guess, to pick up pictures of us being watered and us being nourished, aren't you? I don't have to explain the sacraments again. He's casting that seed, not only his word, the spoken word and the word we read in Scripture, but his word, Jesus Christ, is being scattered and implanted in us right now. And God has something to say about that. Here are the words of the sower. This is the word of the Lord. He says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they've watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. That's a promise to you and me. I ain't giving up on you. I'm going to keep casting that seed. I'm going to bring the harvest in, and you're the harvest. So let's let go of all those old negative images of God, the violent, angry judge who roots out weedy people, who casts away stony people, which would, of course, include every one of us. Let's look to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the sower who plants the seed that is Christ in everyone, in every human being, and then let's go out and seek and serve that implanted Christ in every person, especially God's little neglected one. For God says, you shall go out in joy and be led in back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.